You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Thursday, August 18th, 2022. Way down in the hole, part 11. Carbon capture gets a big boost in Biden's climate bill. Published by Jason Lindquist. The 45Q tax credit has been the federal government's main tool to incentivize the development of a carbon capture industry. If the original legislation that created the credit in 2008 was intended to get things started, and the credit's 2018 expansion designed to give the industry a further boost, the newly enacted Inflation Reduction Act, IRA, which focuses on clean energy despite its name, aims to propel carbon capture into the big time. In today's RBN blog, we look at changes made to the 45Q tax credit under the IRA, from the scope of the enhanced incentives to how they could boost carbon capture opportunities for all types of projects. As we noted in Name Game, a key element in President Biden's 2020 campaign was a promise to reduce the use of fossil fuels and greenhouse gas, or GHG emissions, and promote the development of a clean energy industry. U.S. GHG emissions have generally trended lower over the past 18 years, but not at the speed required to reach net zero emissions by 2050 or to reduce emissions by 50% to 52% from 2005 levels by 2030, the U.S. target under the Paris Agreement. The IRA, which was signed into law by the President on August 16, includes a host of clean energy priorities but might have its biggest impact on carbon capture, a topic we've written about extensively in this series. Although carbon capture and sequestration, or CCS, projects have gained significantly more attention in recent years as environmental, social, and governance, or ESG, concerns have risen and governments have begun to focus on ways to reach net zero targets, carbon capture industry itself is still in its infancy. Most estimates put its size at about $2 billion per year, but ExxonMobil said in April that it expects the global carbon capture industry to be a $4 trillion market by 2050, or about 60% of the size of the overall oil and gas market, which it puts at $6.5 trillion by that date. Occidental Petroleum, or Oxy, which is already invested in CO2 markets for its enhanced oil recovery, or EOR, operations, has a similar outlook for the carbon capture market, which it says could be worth $3 trillion to $5 trillion by mid-century. With the IRA now signed into law, let's look at how it could transform the carbon capture market, and discussions begin with the federal 45Q tax credit. The Internal Revenue Code Section 45Q provides a federal tax credit for disposing of qualified carbon oxide, or QCO, in secure geologic storage or using it in certain approved ways. For the purposes of the tax credit, QCO is a carbon oxide, usually CO2, that would have been released into the atmosphere if it had not been otherwise captured. The 45Q tax credit was added to the Federal Tax Code in the Energy Improvement and Extension Act of 2008, then was expanded and extended under the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2018. Under that legislation, credits for CCS were scheduled to reach $50 per metric ton, or MT, by 2026 for projects that began construction by 2025. Credits were also bumped up to $35 per MT by 2026 for projects that featured carbon capture, use and sequestration, or CCUS, including EOR. All those credits were scheduled to rise with inflation after 2026. Under the IRA, those credits jumped to $85 per MT for CCS and $60 per MT for CCUS, or EOR. But the higher rates also come with prevailing wage, typically union scale, and apprenticeship requirements. To claim the higher credits, those requirements would need to be met during construction and for each year of the 12-year credit period. The base credits, if those criteria are not met, would be 80% lower, at $17 per MT for CCS and $12 per MT for CCUS, which would essentially make those projects uneconomic. Direct air capture, or DAC, projects, which had been eligible for credits at the CCS and CCUS rates noted above, get the biggest boost from the IRA. The rates for DAC would go up significantly, rising to $180 per MT for CCS and $130 per MT for CCUS, EOR, or other approved processes, but base credits, for participants that don't meet the prevailing wage and apprenticeship requirements, would also be much lower at $36 per MT for CCS and $26 per MT for CCUS. More on DAC in a bit. So, how much do these enhanced credits matter for carbon capture projects looking to come online in the next few years? Let's look at a hypothetical example to see the IRA's impact. a reminder that projects are eligible for the 45Q tax credit for their first 12 years in operation and that the tax credit rises with inflation after 2026. Also note that projects are eligible for the higher credit if they begin construction before 2033. Before the IRA, a project had to start construction before 2026. Figure 1 in today's blog on the website shows the annual tax credits earned by a hypothetical facility that permanently sequesters 500,000 MT of QCO each year and that comes online in 2023, after the new credit rates come into effect. The blue bars show the annual tax credits that would have been earned under the previous legislation. The credit was set at $40.89 per MT in 2022 and scheduled to reach $50 per MT by 2026, then adjust for inflation. For our example, we've chosen 3% annual inflation, about the U.S. average since 2000. Under that scenario, the project would pull in about $320 million in credits over its 12-year eligibility. The orange bars in Figure 1 show the dramatic impact the IRA will have on individual projects, with the credit starting at $85 per MT in 2023, then growing with inflation after 2026. The same project would bring in about $560 million in credits over the same 12 years, $240 million, or 75%, more than under the earlier legislation. Under the new rules, the bigger the project, the bigger the benefit. The proposed Houston CCS Innovation Zone hopes to initially capture and store 50 million MT per annum, 100 times the size of the example above. Since there are no limits on the number of credits that can be earned, a project of that size would earn about $32 billion under the old rules if it came online in 2023, but about $56 billion under the new credit schedule. Again, a 75% increase. That's a lot, but it also doesn't come close to covering the project's estimated $100 billion cost, which its backers ExxonMobil, Chevron, LyondellBasell, and others say will need to rely on a mix of private and public funding. Most of the CO2 sold to the merchant market, food processing, beverage making, etc., is captured from industrial sources, with about 33% sourced from ethanol production, 21% from ammonia production, and another 21% from hydrogen production and refining. That's to be expected, as ethanol and ammonia production are among the sources of anthropogenic CO2, or ACO2, with the highest purity emissions, the most efficient capture opportunities, and the lowest break-even costs. Historically, the 45Q tax credit has been enough to incentivize some carbon capture projects in the high-purity group. Low-purity sources are generally from a process where the CO2 is a product of combustion, such as a coal or natural gas-fired power plant, or where the CO2 is harder to capture, refining, cement and iron steel production. Increasing carbon capture from low-purity sources is a key part of any plan to decarbonize, and has the greatest potential to boost overall sequestration. These projects have been slow to develop for a number of reasons, some of them technical and financial, but the enactment of the IRA and the 45Q enhancements have the potential to change the long-term outlook. The 45Q tax credit for CCS projects sits at $37.85 per MT in 2022, which is below the break-even point for most carbon capture projects involving ethanol and natural gas processing, but high enough to incentivize some projects that involve ammonia production. The credit was set to climb to $50 per MT in 2026 but now jumps to $85 per MT under the IRA, high enough to make it financially feasible to do additional retrofits to capture emissions on many projects. The break-even prices come from the Rhodium Group, an independent research group that has provided estimates of U.S. GHG emissions over the past 8 years, perhaps anticipating the jump in the credit rates. Several projects planning to capture emissions from ethanol production are taking shape in the Midwest. The higher credit is also a big boost for carbon capture that targets gray hydrogen production, hydrogen produced from natural gas, which becomes economic in many instances under the IRA. The expanded credit's biggest impact could come from industrial, low-purity sources of emissions such as cement, refining, and iron steel production. Under the previous credit structure, those types of carbon capture projects remain mostly uneconomic, with average break-even costs far above the level of the tax credit. But those types of projects are now closer to making financial sense, with break-even costs right around the new $85 per MT level, even if they might not be there as yet. As the credit rises with inflation in future years and the break-even costs to capture those emissions fall, those projects should increasingly become economically viable. As noted above, DAC credit rates see the biggest jump under the IRA, hitting $180 per MT for CCS and $130 per MT for CCUS. The greatly enhanced credits are critical for DAC because the costs are much higher than other carbon capture projects. As we discussed in Part 9 of this series, DAC facilities are relatively inefficient because they must process enormous volumes of air. CO2 makes up just 0.04% of regular air to have a meaningful impact, so they require a lot of power and are expensive to run. As shown in Figure 2, the Rhodium Group's estimate puts DAC break-even costs at about $180 per MT, but estimates by the International Energy Agency, or IEA, and others vary greatly. Climeworks, which opened its first commercial DAC facility in Iceland in September 2021, says its break-even costs should drop to $250-$300 per MT by the end of the 2020s. Climeworks co-founder Christoph Tbald has said that the enhanced tax credit could establish the U.S. as the center of DAC development. The biggest change to 45Q might come in the form of the higher credit, but there's a lot more to like in the IRA for advocates of carbon capture technology. Here are some of the other key changes under the new law. Number 1. Qualified facilities. The IRA lowers the minimum annual capture requirements for qualified facilities. For electricity generating facilities, the minimum drops from 500,000 tons per annum to 18,750,000 tons per annum, provided that at least 75% of baseline carbon oxide production is captured. For DAC facilities, the threshold drops from 100,000 tons per annum to 100,000 tons per annum. In a new category for other facilities, the minimum drops from 100,000 tons per annum to 12,500,000 tons per annum. Those lower limits could spur new carbon capture projects. Number 2. Direct pay. Project developers now have the option to access direct payment for the full value of the tax credit for the first 5 years of a project, with the option phasing out for the remaining 7 years of the credit. Nonprofit organizations, cooperatives, and municipal utilities could opt for direct pay for the full 12 years of the credit. Number 3. Transferability of credit. The IRA allows a taxpayer to transfer all, or any portion of, the tax credit on an annual basis during the entire 12-year credit period to a third party in exchange for a cash payment. Many of the Biden administration's clean energy and climate plans were included in the IRA, which has provisions on everything from electric vehicles and clean energy technologies to methane emissions and hydrogen production. Now that it has become law, it has the potential to significantly support long-term investments in decarbonization efforts. The expanded 45Q tax credit should not only boost the types of carbon capture projects already in place or in development, but also incentivize projects that focus on hard-to-capture emissions, a key step on any net-zero path. Way Down in the Hole was written by Tom Waits and appears as the second song on side 2 of Waits' 10th studio album, Frank's Wild Years. The song was used as the theme song for the HBO crime drama series, The Wire. The series ran for 5 seasons from 2000 to 2008. In addition to Waits' version, a different recording of Way Down in the Hole was used for each season, including versions by the Blind Boys of Alabama, the Neville Brothers, Dumaje, and Steve Earle. Personnel on the Waits record were Tom Waits, vocals, pump organ, Mark Rebo, guitar, Greg Cohen, bass, Michael Blair, drums, percussion, Ralph Carney, sax, and Angela Brown, Leslie Holland, and Lynn Jordan, backing vocals. Frank's Wild Years was recorded during 1987 at Universal Recording in Chicago and the Sound Factory in Sunset Sound in Hollywood. The album contains songs written for a play of the same name. Several songs from the album have appeared in television shows, movies, and stage productions. Produced by Waits, the album was released in August 1987 and went to number 115 on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart. Tom Waits is an American songwriter, singer, musician, and actor. He began his professional career performing on the San Diego folk circuit as a teen in the late 1960s. He moved to Los Angeles in 1972, where he worked as a songwriter before securing his first record deal with Asylum Records. He has released 17 studio albums, 3 live albums, 7 compilation albums, 2 soundtrack albums, and 24 singles. His songs have been covered by many artists from different genres. Waits has appeared in over 24 motion pictures. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2011. His last tour was in 2008 and his last LP, Bad As Me, was released the same year. He has a featured role in the movie Licorice Pizza, which was released in the US in November and has received an Oscar nomination for Best Picture.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.